this week, I saw a posting on Facebook by a young associate priest in the diocese wondering if any rector would be preaching today. Having been an associate for many years myself, I could understand the question. Rectors who have associates in any sense at all pass this Sunday's preaching off to that associate. No one relishes the idea of preaching on the Sunday designated as Trinity Sunday. But those of us who have no associate have no option. The problem with preaching on Trinity Sunday is that we really cannot explain the Trinitarian nature of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And those of us called to preach feel some need to try to explain. This is a problem that's faced the church since its inception. There is no scriptural reference to the Trinity per se. There's no definition that makes clear the exact connection between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. For 300 years, church fathers argued, sometimes vehemently, about this very concept. People were excommunicated and exiled if their views went too far one way or the other. Explaining the Trinity is a tightrope walk at best. Perhaps the most familiar description of the Trinity is the one offered by St. Patrick, who used the clover as an example of the sameness, yet not indistinguishable nature of the threefold Godhead. Three distinct leaves, yet at the same time, one leaf. That visual aid is useful, but still does not fully define or describe the interrelated nature of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the reason that it does not is because it cannot. We cannot define the nature of God. But we can experience God's nature as Father, Creator, Son, Redeemer, and Holy Spirit, Sustainer. In a reading from John today, we're taken back to a time before the crucifixion. Jesus is attempting to prepare the disciples for his final departure, for the time he will not be with them physically. And he says, "I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth." That line has always gotten my attention. I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. We don't have all the information. We still don't know all. The Spirit is still guiding us into all the truth. We don't have all the truth yet. Each time I read this line, my mind immediately jumps to Pilate's question to Jesus in this same gospel. What is truth? Pilate had a sense of what truth was, but refused to act on it. He allowed rather to be guided by the crowd to protect his place in the world, his position. Rather than allowing himself to be guided by truth, he allowed himself to be led by his need for security. Truth is a very difficult thing to get a handle on. It's perhaps as difficult as the Trinitarian nature of God, one substance, three persons. Our very own Declaration of Independence reads, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." And it's good to be reminded of this on this Memorial Day weekend as we remember and honor those who have given their lives to defend these rights. Yet at the same time, we must acknowledge the reality that these self-evident truths have not always been self-evident. Truth so rarely is. Find two people in the midst of a heated argument, and you will quickly discover that each one is certain that he or she has the truth. But most often, the truth is somewhere in between each side. What we hold tightly as truth most often depends on our perspective. That is why it's so critical that we evaluate our perspective and what is leading us to truth. In the history of the world, there have been those who have claimed to have the truth, that have led otherwise innocent people in very destructive directions. Adolf Hitler immediately comes to mind as one who made such a strong claim that to lead to the deaths of millions of Jews and others who did not fit the mold. And quite unfortunately, he is not the only one. Ethnic cleansing still happens in our world today. Charismatic leaders who boldly claim to have the truth are too often able to convince those who would be led that their truth is the truth. It would seem to me that truth coming from the Holy Spirit, from the Spirit of God, would never cause harm. That in fact, our forefathers were being led by that same Spirit when they boldly proclaimed that every man is created equal and has unalienable rights. I wish, however, that they could have been allowed themselves to be led a bit further by that same Spirit and proclaim that every person be created equal, not just men. Of course, that is my bias on truth. Thankfully, not all charismatic leaders who have claimed to have truth have used it for harm. And there are examples of those leaders in our world today as well. Those who speak the truth in love. Those who are continually trying to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. Archbishop Desmond Tutu immediately comes to mind as one who spoke hard truth to a difficult situation in South Africa, urging always for reconciliation, not division, urging those who had caused harm and those who had been harmed to come together in the truth of the Spirit, to acknowledge the wrongs done, and to move forward toward forgiveness and unity. Somehow, our nature is one of wanting the truth and wanting it now. Of wanting to be able to fully wrap our minds around the Trinitarian nature of God. But we can't dissect the nature of God. And we don't have all the truth now. Jesus said, "I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth." He did not say, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will give you all the answers or give you all the truth. Jesus said he will guide you into all truth. We are still being guided. We're still being led. What we must constantly evaluate is who is doing the guiding. Let us be guided and led by the Holy Spirit of truth, knowing that we don't have all the answers, but we are willing to be led.